Bonjour and welcome to episode number 2 of Kane, Danes and Automobiles, coming to you directly from Auxonne, France. With me, as always, is Chris.
Hello, Dave.
Adam.
Bonjour.
Stan.
Come on to Belgium.
And joining us for the first time, live from Spain, it's Mike Wilkerson.
Hello, how are you doing? Stan's my only my only French expression. I know it's funny. So hello, Dave. Sorry.
How do you feel now you finally made it to the podcast?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Dave. I heard you guys chatting away about where you were in London last, weren't you?
We were directly from Chris's living room.
So good. So pleasure. Exciting to be in France as well. Even though I think we're in the quietest bit of France in the world.
Like the way you're speaking to Mike, like you've never met him before. Yeah,
I mean, for about 28.
Anyway,
it's like a very awkward first date.
Isn't it? It's like a date, isn't it?
Hey, do you reckon you
2 yards apart from
it? Do you reckon you see it again?
Probably same for the next day, won't we? Pretty different one, isn't it?
Yeah. Think for future.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Good. Not what you're expecting on a Euros podcast, is it?
Mm. But anyway, the Euros are now officially upon us. We've had games been going on since Friday night, and we've had the first home nations games. Obviously, Wales played Slovakia, which I think we all agreed was bloody brilliant.
Slovakia were cheated out of it, I think we've all agreed. Wouldn't be saying that if England hadn't have drawn.
I should also like to highlight that we've had a bit of listener feedback. I've been told that Alcopot Records, the Oxford record label, would like to make it known that Martin Skirtle is a horrible, horrible C unit. And he wanted me to quote him verbatim on that. Because Martin Skirtle yesterday, frankly, was dirty as sin. And I think he was lucky to be on the pitch by the end of it. And then England played a game, didn't they? And, let's say, 89 minutes, but it was pretty good.
But was it more like 91 minutes, I think, in the end?
Yeah, but I'm taking away 3 minutes of any time Raheem Sterling had the ball, which we have to accept was dreadful.
Yeah, very fair.
I think the thing about Raheem Sterling is his face looks really sad when he's done something kind of even half entertaining, and then he still looks really sad about it. So you have no confidence in him.
And he still has that fantastic duck waddling run of his, which I think is a sight to be seen.
He kind of runs like he needs to go to the toilet, but he knows he can't do it on the pitch. He's kind of holding it in while running really badly, and then passing to anyone but a white shirt.
He's just got no end product. I mean, he gets in these amazing positions and then just does nothing. Frankly, falls over the ball. I think he fell over his own feet once in that game, but anyway.
It's not for the first time he does that, though.
I think he's. I mean, being a Liverpool fan, he was very lucky to have played with a very good team, and we've managed to swindle Manchester City out of nearly 50 million. 50 million, 5-0.
Oh, so enthusiastic hand up in the air from Mike.
No, I was going to say it's like when they park football, isn't it? When you we used to play for Kenilworth at Nick in Warwickshire, and you used to be able to run with the ball past like 3 people and then get tackled with the ball, and that's the kind of start of the game. But I don't know. That's true. I don't think he'll start the next one anyway.
I remember in the World Cup, me and Chris talking about Sterling, who was in the squad, and both of us going, why is Sterling starting games in the World Cup and not Lallana, who's definitely a better footballer? And at least Lallana started this time, but Sterling started again. And he was, I think, indubitably England's worst player. He was hapless.
Very good use of a duper thing, Derek.
Thank you. As opposed to you, who just kind of stumbled over that.
I thought he was all right first half. It's not often you hear me praising the second half. He returned to the normal old shit that he used to.
We just didn't have any end product. I mean, we did have a lot of the ball. We didn't really press. Rooney had a really good shot that was saved spectacularly by the keeper. Really good save, but we just didn't shoot enough. We didn't make our dominance count.
I think we should have Jamie Vardy instead of Sterling there, David.
I think if you get Jamie Vardy out on the right wing, I think the right wing's where he's pretty comfortable. I think he'll do a job.
Oh, you've been wanting to get that satire in
all week. But also, let's talk about good news. Is the Wales game
a point's good news? Huh? A point's better than nothing.
A point is better than nothing, but against Russia, I think you guys certainly didn't go, that's a bloody good point, lads, when the game finished.
To be fair, I think we would have all said that on paper, I think Russia was the toughest game of the group. I know we've got Wales, but at least we know what to expect. With
League
Wales.
Leaders Wales.
We still know what to expect from Wales. We play against their players week in, week out in the Premier League or the Championship or whatever. Whereas Russia, you know, they're an unknown quantity.
But not bad.
Also League One. Don't forget those Welsh players playing in League One.
No problem with League One. The number one league in football, I think we have to remember. But yeah, Wales have 3 points, leading the group. Hal Robson-Kanu came on as a sub. Did an absolutely... He did a job. He scored the goal. And I think, as a Wales fan, it was a jolly good performance.
Did they play the Manic song before the game?
I'd like to think that as the ball crossed the line, in his head, Hal Robson-Kanu was actually just yelling, Hal Robson-Kanu!
His own name.
Adam.
I'd like to point out at this point that if you want to look at how Dave was feeling about the Wales game, his thoughts and opinions before half-time, then you can actually go to our Facebook page, and we will be beaming Facebook Live throughout the tournament, and we've got Dave's thoughts if you wish to view them.
Although, for that match, Dave was wearing an extraordinarily tight Welsh top.
I mean, it was literally painted on. It took 3 hours.
I mean, I should highlight
onto his body.
That it's not so much I'd pick the wrong size of top, it's that in the mid-2000s, Wales stupidly chose Kappa as their manufacturer, and I don't remember, Mike, you met John Hartson in Flares in Swansea, and John Hartson in the Kappa tops always looked quite a bit beefy, didn't he, like a bit of timber, and I remember you saying that John Hartson, when he's met in real life, looked thin as a whippet. It's just these Kappa tops pressed tight against his skin. So if you compare him...
I don't think I said he looked thin as a whippet. I met him in Flares in Swansea the night or two before he was used to those players.
I don't think we can say much more about that.
Yeah. We can't say any more about that.
Probably best not.
Although, that's fair.
John Hartley, he
Wales won that game, so...
He got a hat-trick as well. So, whatever, yeah, it was good.
So, yeah,
he's dancing away, dancing it off, ready for the
Bottle of Reef did the job.
Bottle of Reef mixed with WKD. But, what was I going to say about John Hart? Yeah, the thing with kits, though, because they've all become tighter, haven't they? And I was saying we've dealt with that.
We've just not all become fatter.
we've become a bit fatter. At the same time, kits have become tighter. So the old kits we used to wear, we can still wear, and it'll look good.
Regards the Lycra kits, nothing to do with that. I've just got to get back into the point of football. I mean, what are we into now about the sixth or seventh game? We've seen some pretty good goals.
We have seen, I mean... Game one, the Payet goal, and you can all agree, I mean, it's doors, but goal of the tournament, I think, has already been sewn up.
Modric's earlier, Bale's goal.
Bale's goal did involve the
he got a lot of movement on that ball.
Dyer's goal. I don't think he's ever taken a free kick before.
No, there's some stats today, and it's his first ever free kick, I think, possibly ever even in school football.
He should stop. He should stop now.
In which case, I love the fact that someone's like, Eric's never taken a free kick.
But why not? We should say there might have been more fantastic goals in the Germany-Ukraine game, but that's not started yet. So we're recording this on a Sunday evening, having just watched Northern Ireland. Unlucky to lose, probably, to Poland.
I don't know, they didn't have any chances. They didn't do anything.
But Will Grigg didn't seem to be on fire, or even on the pitch to start the game. Luckily, Connor Washington was deemed a superior choice of starting, which Will Grigg's on fire. Connor Washington, let's be honest, is pretty bang average.
How Northern Irish is Will Grigg?
Well, Conor Washington plays in the higher division in World Grid.
Well, not next year. And Conor Washington spent most of last year in League One anyway.
True.
So they are very much a similar standard footballer. But we have quite an action patch. Well, not action patch, but quite an
action patch. Action patch, then. We're stood in a tent.
We have quite.
we are in a gazebo in a completely empty field that may have actually been shut off because of flooding.
Completely empty. There are two ducks who Adam earlier was filming having sex, which...
Can I say, I wasn't actually filming them.
He just likes to watch.
Photographing.
creating art. Documenting.
Pornographer.
Enthusiast. To be fair, there was no actual action. There was a lot of, suggestions of...
keep digging.
Duck grapey type nature, keep but
digging.
Nothing really happened.
Keep digging.
Well,
anyway,
although that positive note is we're seeing no that's the nearest we've seen to trouble, really.
Or people.
in this bit of France. So positive behaviour from all that.
But coming up on the show, we have an interview with popular internet celebrity Gordon Hill, a.k.a. the Wheelstone Raider, who I believe Chris had a nice chat with the other day.
Spoke to him last week about some of his thoughts for the Euros. what he's been up to, what he's going to be getting up to, and yeah, that'll be with us shortly.
We've also got some listener feedback coming up. We posed a few questions on the old Twitter account and the Facebook account, Twitter at KBandA Podcast, and KBandA Podcast, and we'll be going through some of that later. But Chris, what's next?
What is next, Dave? Hang on, where the notes?
I believe you're going to ask us some questions, aren't you, David?
That is correct. In the build-up,
I just felt that there was something in the air.
Like they forgot that he was actually going to ask us questions.
No, seamless, I just think he wanted the plug, shameless plug.
Yeah. You give Dave a bit of power, and he's off.
Yeah, you have to wait and ask questions.
So, yeah, in the build-up to the to us getting out here, to the tournament,
Getting out here?
Okay.
More on how we got here later on.
I don't think that people need to hear that. Me and Adra are both not champions.
Dave did have the handbrake on for a considerable amount of time.
There is also a funny smell coming from the motorhome now, and it's not Dave's fan.
I will say the motorhome had a handbrake on for maybe 5 seconds I was driving earlier, and that's not the cause of the smell now.
That is 5 seconds too long.
Says the man who's never driven his life. Anyway, the questions I asked you guys.
Anyway,
even knew that catchphrase is back again, isn't it?
The questions I asked you guys were about England and about the Euros. So first of all, I wanted to know the best and worst England players you've seen in our generation. And who would you say for that? Mike Wilkinson.
Dave Flair, thanks very much. I love Flair Winfielder, so I'm going to do the obvious thing and say Gazza. Because he made kind of every match exciting, didn't he? And the worst, I'd say, was probably played, I don't know, I'm guessing, 10 or 20 games for England, but Carlton Palmer. Yes, I was nervous when we did that bumbling thing, running through the middle, and just thought, God.
He was just all legs, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he never felt, not in the sort of way Patrick Vieira was, and he sort of felt confident about it, in the sort of clumsy way that Carlton Palmer was.
A quote from Ron Atkinson, who signed Carlton Palmer twice,
he
once claimed that Carlton Palmer could trap a ball further than I can pass it, which I think sums up Carlton's ball skills.
Yeah, I know, and a midfielder should, whatever their job, make you a bit more confident when they get the ball, not make you panic. Yeah. I can't apparently make you panic. And he played, it was significant in the Graham Taylor era, and I feel that one or two players from the worst England players in our generation might come from that era.
It's funny you mention that, because Chris, who would you say are the worst and then best England players of our generation?
Where to begin? I don't know. I'm not really prepared for this. But there you go. You change again. There's lots, like, as you'll hear from Gordon in a minute, I asked Gordon the same question. And he said he could go on all day about the worst. Best was quicker to answer. And actually, as Mike said, he won't, as you'll hear who he goes, and he agrees with Mike, he goes together. Who is there? Back there, Sinton.
Who is it?
Jack Thomas.
Franny Jeffers.
He was talking about his best.
Tony DiRigo.
Franny Jeffers, like Dave Eugen. 100% record for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, great.
Stuart Ripley is probably, but Jay Bothroy, Fraser Campbell, probably shouldn't have got caps when they did. The best defensive performance I've ever seen in football, ever, might be a slight exaggeration, is England 1, Nigeria 0 in friendly in late 1994 with Tim Flowers in goal and a centre back pairing of Steve Howie and Neil Ruddock.
a powerhouse partnership.
Pinchy. 100% record together.
And yet they never played together for England again. And that's why England didn't make that World Cup.
It was after the World Cup.
But that's why they didn't make it.
Low motivation.
My best.
Tony? No. You did? You just told us it was Howie and
Howie's defence. Sorry.
Which one of those two, though, was your best?
I can't choose. Big boys, isn't he?
Yeah, threatening boys.
Beckham, possibly, I think, for just the way he ran his backside into the ground for 115 caps.
I was going to say Beckham as well. I mean, I still always remember that goal in injury time against Greece to take us, was it to the Euros or the World Cup?
World Cup.
The World Cup, even more important.
And he marshalled that game as well. He ran, as Chris said earlier, he ran his backside off. Just that game, it felt like no one else on the pitch in the England shirt really seemed to care that much. And Beckham, I think single-handedly got England to the World Cup that
2002
game.
World Cup, wasn't it? Because obviously Greece were nobodies at that point, and then obviously went on to win a tournament before England even looked like they could even consider it. But let's not forget, it was a terrible, terrible Greek side. It was a terrible draw. So
Athol
that shows the other 10 players on the pitch, just shocking.
And who's your worst ad?
Well, I wouldn't say maybe it's the worst, but it's one that does stick out for me. The One Cat Wonders. Right. And for me, I was discussing this with you boys yesterday. We have different opinions on it, but David Nugent. Now, one cat, one goal. And
but what a goal!
If you are Jermaine Defoe, you can't help but think, what a little dirty rat. Jermaine Defoe strikes the ball. The keeper just deflects it a little bit with his hand. It's rolling over the line.
That's
and
his job, isn't it, though?
From two centimetres probably out, no threat of anyone actually clearing it. Nugent just sneaks in, tacks it over. And
no problem at all.
It's like a right
no
smug
at all. And Jermaine Defoe's been around and is still around. That, like, he's been around for ages. And probably Nugent thought, oh, not going to get many caps.
Well, as has been proved. Yeah, I think maybe that behaviour.
How can you be the worst if
one cap,
if
one goal.
If you've got 100% record.
Do you think the England manager, was it McLaren at the time? Whoever it was, didn't the England guys like...
Sven.
It was Sven.
Do you think Sven probably thought to himself, Nugent, you've been a proper dick today, that's it, you're out.
Yeah, I think that's how it went down, really.
But
that and a very failed move.
We talked about it the other day. You said, Ad Roberts, you said that Nugent just scores like tap-ins and stuff. He scores them.
I never said that he scores tap-ins. So, I just said that was an outrageous little tap-in, which is unnecessary.
Yeah, great.
Sneaky little rat.
You wouldn't have done that then if that was you. That was you creeping
no.
Maybe you wouldn't have made the 6 yard, but.
Probably wouldn't. I've got the legs for that.
Anyway, James Standley, the Stanimal. What's your answer to this? Pressing question.
The best England player in my generation. I just loved Alan Shearer. I think every time Alan Shearer played for England, you always felt as if he was going to score or something was going to happen. I mean, we all remember that we're going to talk about England Euro moments probably at another time or even later.
Maybe later.
Just the goals he smashed in. I mean, that fourth goal against Holland was fantastic. Worst England player of our generation. It's a bit harsh, but being from the goalkeepers' union, I mean Scott Carson. Whoa, that was a debut and a half, wasn't it?
That was a debut and a half. 8 minutes on into the game, wasn't it?
I think it threw it in. Well, virtually threw it into his own goal.
I don't know if you can hear it in the background. It's not actually making a cuckoo sound, suggesting Stan's mental. It's actually a cuckoo on one of the trees. I don't know if we're picking it up, but if you hear an odd noise. 50% of the time out, 50% wildlife.
I thought it was going to be the Ducks making sweet love again.
If they do come back, Ad will leave the recording, I would assume, to film them. Yeah. You might hear yelps of joy in the background.
He's covered himself in leaves just to get closer to the action.
Bracken. And there's us saying no in jokes on the show. And for the question, I did a little bit of thinking as well.
So we need to ask you, don't we? Dave.
Mike, host of... As if it was off the top of your head.
Are we talking Wales or England for Dave?
I have both.
Dave?
Yeah.
Who's your favourite Welsh player of your generation? And then who's your favourite English one?
Okay. Best Welsh player of my generation. It's the cliche answer, but it has to be Ryan Giggs, isn't it? He only turned up half the time. But when he did, he always looked like he made a difference. And outside Giggs, I'm also going to say, mentioned him earlier, Big John. Big John Hartson, he was the goal scoring pedigree in that Wales team for a long period. After years of, he had Saunders and Lush, good strikers. He went through the dark days where the strike force was people like Gareth Taylor or Nathan Blake, and really none of those two men were going to threaten the Golden Boots at any tournament, meant that they wouldn't get it there. But Giggs
only turned up for that when he fancied it, though, didn't he?
Giggs and Hartson, though. They're on the same pitch.
Right? And the next question. Next question is going to be posed by Ad. Dave?
Dave Leclerc.
Yes.
I'd like to know your worst Wales player and then your worst England player.
Worst Wales player is Darren Bernard because he was always hapless. And at no point did he ever think... You had Giggs on left wing and behind him you had Darren Bernard. And you just thought, I'd rather just have 10 players and just get Giggs to play wing back and left wing because Darren Bernard... Shocking. For England, there's two answers to this. It's either Jamie Vardy or Steve Stone. Because you think about the video for Three Lions, right? And at the end, there's Steve Stone doing his little dance at the World Cup. And you think about Euro 96. Do you ever see Steve Stone in Euro 96?
Steve Stone started his international career 2 goals in 3 games.
Thank you very much.
Ad Talks Forest, or former Forest right wingers playing for England.
Slightly more disappointing statistics than New Zealand then. But they. Oh, no, hang on, that's better, isn't it?
It's better.
Better, yeah. I think it could be better than 100%. That's really bad math.
If you saw that BBC thing that when Forest came on, David went to film the video.
Yeah.
Most of the players were like, and certainly I'm sure like, I just signed some football, and they didn't want to do it. Like they didn't want to do World in.
What emotion?
World in Motion.
I bet John Barnes did.
Well, they did. Apparently, Peter Beardsley tried the rap before John
Barnes.
According to Barnesy, it wasn't as good as it. Well, I don't think
I'm going to surprise that. But yeah, I've got a question that I'll be filling the boys later on, just to have the show out. But I believe, Chris, we have coming up an interview which you conducted.
Yeah.
Nice man?
Lovely man, yeah. Coming up, we'll be hearing from Gordon. We'll go out with you after you hear from Gordon.
So joining us now is Gordon Hill, or as known to many, the Wilston Raider. On Keynes, Baines and Automobiles. Welcome along, Gordon. How are you?
All right, not bad, mate. Not bad. Cheers, yourself?
Good, yeah, not so bad. Thank you, Gordon. So at the moment, you're sunning yourself in Magaluf with a bit of work and a bit of pleasure.
Yeah, why not? As you said, it's very pleasure to be enjoying yourself.
And what is it you're up to in Magaluf work-wise at the moment, then?
I'm a PR for Tapia Bars, Toto Bongos and Remediations.
Very nice, very nice. And is it all sort of Euro-based stuff now we're looking at, or...? General football.
It is general football. They're selling football every night of the week. They've got all the friendlies at the moment. So yeah, it's a good place to work. Place to watch football.
Well, yeah, there's certainly worse jobs to have. Of course, many of the listeners will know you as probably the world's biggest Wealdstone fan. You think that's a title we can give to you now? Officially, the world's biggest Wealdstone fan.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Have you got any near rivals?
Well, no. I'm the best known Wealdstone fan. There's a lot of Wealdstone fans that are a lot bigger than me, but not as well known.
Is Russell Grant, is he a Wealdstone fan, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, he's a Wealdstone. He's actually on the board. I don't know what part of the board. Honorary something or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's a nice man. Nice man.
And I remember when we met you previously at a Wealdstone game, you were saying your first game, I think your dad took you to, was quite...
Yeah.
It's not like a normal fixture people would think, is it?
No, it's Udinese.
Udinese?
They were in the third or fourth division in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden they're first, they're massive, isn't they? So at the time they were only just the only team. We were in the same sort of division at the time.
And can you remember what the score was?
I've no idea. You know when your first down, you're proud to go with your dad on the day. You always remember your first down. You don't remember the story.
And you remember it, and it was Udinese.
Yeah.
It's a good job you didn't get used to all these glamorous clubs cup turning up and you got to see all these big clubs.
Oh yeah, we will do. We'll get that up there, don't we?
So I believe you've got a single coming out. Can you tell us what that's about?
At the moment it's all in the pipeline. There is talk, but it's only talk, so I can't really I'm with you up to that, say, but I can't. My management committee would cut my hands off.
we'll get people to if they want to find out more follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter, Gordon?
Only Run Raider. That's only O-N-E Raider.
Perfect. Lovely. Thank you.
Did somebody else nick the number one before I could get to it?
People will find you're the one with, 90 plus thousand followers?
Yeah, I'm losing followers. I don't know why.
Well, hopefully after this we'll get you some added and hopefully your appearances in Spain will help that as well. Moving on. Do you have a favourite sort of football song or Euro song that's been released by anyone in the past?
It's got to be Vindaloo.
Vindaloo.
That's the most catchy one. Yeah, it's got to be the most catchy one, isn't it?
Have you heard the Will Grigg one that Northern Ireland have got?
No, I haven't. Being in Spain, I'm a bit isolated.
I'm sure you'll be hearing it plenty when the Northern Ireland game's on TV. I think it entered the chart sort of top 15, top 10 this week. It's incredible.
Oh, fair play.
And I think the guy doing it, giving it all to charity and stuff, so that's all good as well.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously a man, you know, is yourself. You know, you've been incredibly generous to charity and you've helped out. Is it the Wilson Youth Team and Great Ormond Street?
Yeah, Great Ormond Street Youth Team and Autistic Centre Northampton. Fantastic. I do a lot of other charity things, and also I like the charity work. It's fulfilling.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and it's good that sort of just from having a few beers one day, all of this stuff has sort of come to you. I guess has it sunk in yet?
Yeah, I still think I'm dreaming. I still think I'm going to wake up and it's just been a wonderful dream. So just the dream, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and as long as it lasts, just enjoy it. And, you know, having met you before, yeah. you're a guy who loves his football, likes having a beer, and just... It's just incredible how you're taking it in your stride.
Thank you. You have to know, isn't it? I'm still friends with the people I do my building work for, so
I'm
still know about on the building any day I want.
Yeah.
And I had been, before I came over here, I was still doing the building work,
yeah.
And I loved it, so yeah.
Why not? And at least if you can do some bits in the summer, it's probably better than doing it in the winter.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's your favourite England player of all time?
Of all time?
Yeah.
It's got to be Gascoigne, isn't it? Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah. I was watching the Gazza documentary, the film they did on him last year. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It's, yeah, incredible. No. If you've not seen it, recommend it. And so, talking of England players, who do you think's your worst England player that you've seen?
Oh.
Too many.
No, there's too many, yeah. Sidwell.
Oh.
Remember Steve Sidwell?
Yeah.
Yeah, how did he get an Indian cap? I don't know. David Batty. That was Batty, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got quite a few as well, I think.
Yeah, that was Batty, was his nickname. He never passed the ball forward, always that was the side. I've had to be here all day to mention him.
And so before you go to Wealdstone or watch England games, have you got any sort of rituals or superstitions? We've been talking about what various ones we had when we were kids, and you know, some people will always insist on wearing the same socks or putting the shirt on in the same order. There's certainly no shorts and shirt and things like that.
Not really. I like to have a couple of beers before the football match, but who doesn't?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I like a couple of beers. Is that a ritual or a sort of an alcoholic? I'm not sure. you got to have a couple of beers. That's part of the ritual. And meet up with a few mates and just travel together.
But no superstitions?
No superstitions.
And looking at sort of the Euros, how do you think England, Wales... Northern Ireland, Republic are going to get on?
England, attackingly, I think we're a force. It's just our defence, which we haven't got. I think we've done well against Portugal the other day, but it nulled us in attack, so I don't know what Roy's going to do. If we can get our act together, then I think we'll get to the semis at least, if we can get our act together. Republic of Ireland, they're a good team. I think they'll get out of their dream. Wales, they've got Barrow, which is one of the best for players in the world. So anything can happen with them. If he starts on fire, anything could happen. As the OT says, football's a funny old game.
Yeah.
Look at Denmark all them years ago. Look at Denmark, no one expected them. Greece.
Absolutely.
No one expected it. So that's why we love football, because no one can predict or guess what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think the Northern Ireland fans are just there for a massive party, and anything that happens... Anything, you know, any positive results they get is just a massive bonus.
Yes, the Northern Irish people don't need an excuse to have a party. That's from my memory. I used to work with the Northern Irish people, when they don't need an excuse to have a party.
And who would you reckon is going to win it? Who would your money be on?
This is going to sound very strange, but I think Germany's going to be up there, France or sure, Spain. But I've got a sneaking feeling to go Belgium.
Yeah,
they've got a good team, and. They're not really fancied. Never now and then with Leicester winning the Premier League. I think this is the year with the underdog. And, I think Belgium.
Yeah, and would you sort of say they're the sort of dark horses as well? You think kind of same answer for both. So Belgium's gonna win it, and is anyone else you think that could sort of sneak through?
Hopefully it's England. Yeah. Hopefully we'll do it. If we sort our defence out, we've got so many attacking options. I can't believe it. If we're saying 4 years and we're not bringing no youngsters through, and now we've got Vardy, we've got Kane, we've got Sturridge, even Mooney to a certain degree, and that Rashford from Man United, nobody knows about him. He can do what Owen done in the World Cups and the Euros. We've got the potential going forward. It's just sorting out the defence, really, isn't it?
I think we're all probably in agreement with that. It's sort of going forward, as long as Roy sort of doesn't try and stifle it too much. The options,
yeah,
you know, the variations and options, no one would probably have the same players down, which is incredibly encouraging. Yeah. But I think everyone would have the same concerns with the defence.
I'm the chauffeur for the brought John Terry. I've persuaded him to come out of retirement.
Yeah, Ad, who add on the podcast will be smiling now hearing this, because he was very much of the same opinion. He was sort of, you know, you just sort of need that leader and that big sort of, you know, brick wall kind of there, just to sort of everything
to hit. The talk about his speed, because he was never the fastest player in the world anyway, was he?
So it doesn't matter too much.
But he's a weeder, Dane. He still can weed a Dane. What would it give for that's for Tony Adams nowadays and Bold and all the rest of the great defenders we had. So Steve Bruce never can even get a proper game, could he? And he was a magnificent defender for Man United.
That's it. And you sort of don't get, it's almost as if a defender these days isn't allowed to tackle and isn't seen to be sort of someone who can really sort of get stuck in and sort of get in the way of things. And It's sort of all about, even fullbacks attack now, don't they, really, rather than defence.
Yeah, you don't get the fullbacks. They're more like bloody wingers, aren't they,
fullbacks. Obviously, going back to the Wiltshire thing, Stuart Pearce would just, you know, as a fullback, he'd just be straight in there and no nonsense. Yeah. But nowadays, probably on the international level, would he get away with it?
No, exactly.
Yeah, and sort of looking at all the other players in the tournament, and looking at your sort of, the catchphrase that you're famous for, which player do you think is going to want some the most, and which player would you like to give it to the most? Which player annoys you the most, Ronaldo?
Even though he's an actual great player, it's got to be Cristiano Ronaldo, isn't it? He's too much prima donna.
He is
a great player. He doesn't need the antics that he does, like tripping over and things like that. That's another thing that annoys me about like league football, Premier League, all the theatricals when they fall over a bit of hair.
Yeah.
That's why I prefer the non-league football.
Yeah, it's a bit more honest, isn't it?
Yeah. If people start doing that in non-league football, the supporters would be on their case all the way along.
Well, that's it, and it's right, and then the fans there were right in their face as well, aren't they? So all the players can hear exactly what the fans think. Have you got in trouble with a player before for telling him what you think?
No, I get on with all the players. We get on with all the players. Yeah. The players in non-league football, once they finish, they get changed, have a shower, and come and have a drink with us in the bar. Have a coat, or just come and see the fans. See, they come up to the fans and ask us our opinions, how they done.
Yeah.
So,
it's sort of complete opposite.
You wouldn't get any of the Premier League players down in the local pub and saying, listen, how did I get onto that? Like they did in the 80s and the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Yeah, it's very different now, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't do anything in Premier League football. They live in a bubble, don't they?
Yeah, that's it.
Everything's given to them, everything's brought for them. It's a story of some bloke couldn't even change the light bulb, yet get his management team. What the hell's happening there?
It's just incredible, isn't it, really? The sort of shift change and, you know, I think that's possibly why teams like Spurs and Southampton have done well, is they're being sort of less comforting to these youngsters. And they're making them work, and they're saying if you work, you can come through and you can play for the first team.
I think what Leicester done this year is absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So hopefully it continues. I hope he's not one off. There's other teams like Leicester come through and do what Leicester done, and it's absolutely, as I said, phenomenal.
In the next 10 years, you see Wilson win it.
Yeah, it's guaranteed.
Here, you've heard it here first on Kane, Flames and Automobiles. Wilson will win the Premier League in the next 10 years.
I'll be like for AC Wimbledon getting promoted.
That'd be an interesting match, wouldn't it? You can imagine probably there'll be more AFC Wimbledon fans at the away game than there will be MK Dons fans.
That's not
hard. So what's next for Gordon the Raider? What's coming up next after you finish in Magaluf? Any ideas or just wait and see?
We've got a few things in the pipeline. Millstone Raider isn't, everybody's saying his old hat, he's not, he's coming back with a vengeance. There's a lot in the pipeline, there's a lot of things that we're planning, and I'm not at liberty to say to my management, I would like to say, but my management team would still...
Well, we don't want to get you in for that.
I don't know what half their plans are.
You just do as you're told.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
I didn't even know I was coming to Spain until I decided to sprint it on him.
Well, that's it. And you're having a great time with it. And, you know, having met you and spoken to you again today, just, you know, your love for football and just sort of your honest, decent nature just comes across in in waves. And, you know, it, thank you so much for talking to us today, Gordon. It's really appreciated.
Can I put something on your podcast, just a little advertisement?
Yeah, of course you can.
If anybody wants to come and watch, if they can't go to France, they can't get tickets, they're welcome to come and have a beer with me in Maddie Youth in a couple of bars that I'm working in.
Yeah.
You'll find me over here. Come and have a beer with the Real Stone Raider.
There you go. Well, definitely.
It'll be my pleasure.
Having had the pleasure of having beers with the Wilson Raider before, you won't regret it. Gordon's a fantastic guy, so please do. If you're in Spain and in Magaluf, get along there to see him. You can follow him again at your Twitter is?
Only One Raider.
There we go.
O-N-E Raider.
So, yeah, you'll find him, and we'll link to him on the Twitter as well. So, yeah, Gordon, thank you so much for joining us today on Kane, Baines and Automobiles. And here's to England winning the Euros and to Wilson getting promoted next season.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, Gordon. Thanks very much. Cheers, Gordon.
It's Ian Dowie. You're listening to Kane's, Baines and Automobiles. And tune in to listen to Northern Ireland win the Euros.
Ooh, that's a little awkward, isn't it?
Bit of work to do. Bit of work to do for one of those guys.
That's still two games, though.
It's hard not to qualify in this.
There are teams that can go to on no points.
I know.
Certain things can happen.
They
can go to on no points.
No problem.
Ian, keep your faith.
Yeah, he's still confident.
But yeah, Wilson Raider there, Gordon Hill.
Lovely.
Apparently, the ad, he says, you've got no fans.
That's
original. There we go. cutting edge sass.
Sass from Dave.
From Dave there.
Do you want some, Dave?
No. Topical humour.
There we go.
Oh, Dave's on fire.
Anyway, you can't tell you in the field of Dax making love or anything. Stay relaxed.
We've had some feedback.
Oh.
Because those people follow us on the Twitter machine at KBander Podcast. The other week, I bought a Sega Master System game, the classic Super Kickoff, which is, frankly, pretty average.
Have you got a Sega Master System?
Yes, otherwise that would be a dreadful purchase.
A bit of plastic, otherwise.
And I decided to ask our listeners the best and worst football games they played on computer systems, back in the days before your Call of Duties and your online downloading nonsense. Proper games, I call them. And we've had some answers.
Sounds like such an old fart.
So yeah,
and slightly special.
So from the Facebook,
how old is old, by the way?
How old is old?
Is it when you had to blow into the cartridge and tip the Master System upside down? And
remember that tin of beans you had to have on yours?
Yeah, we did. Cracking. Yeah, yeah. It's strange how science works, isn't it? Tin of beans, keep it in.
Yeah, listen to feedback then.
Yeah, go. Okay.
Simon Harper says, first game he had was World Cup Italia 90 on the Sega Master System. A bloody hard game, but he did have
Why
a sweet spot for goal.
Why are you emphasising Sega so much?
There are other consoles.
Robert Larder, who actually is the creator of our fantastic theme tune.
Oh yeah, we meant to give him a shout out in the last episode, actually.
Yeah, he said, Pele football on the Mega Drive. If you weren't playing as Pele, you were fucked.
Just Pele versus
Pele the world.
If we mention Pele, we do need to point out that he does not have erectile dysfunction issues. However, if he did, he would get help.
By selling all his things in an auction.
Glyn Naylor says, best was Sensible World of Soccer, which I think is a sentiment a lot of people here could agree with, which not only was obviously Sensi in all its glory, but had a management game that was so detailed...
He's Welsh, isn't he, Dave?
He is. Well,
he's going to do an accent.
Had a management game that was so detailed... That sounds not going to sound racist. I could buy my mate's dad from the Welsh League and play him up front for United. It also had a wonderful floor where you'd be warned you had to win your next two games or be fired. You lose the next two and the board of Palace stop you, swapping all your star players to the cloggers at the team who just happened to be managerless, and you walk into a hero's welcome. Worst, he says, was that Japanese game where you played as a single player in career mode, which, yeah, that does sound awful.
I feel like I'm actually there, enjoying this.
Should be there with a little bit of Welsh side. I don't think so, because it's going to end up saying...
Best was Sensible World of Soccer!
That's lovely.
Our Welsh audience has now slipped to...
no one. Mark Newton...
Although that still sounds like it bothers Glyn a bit. That's great.
Mark Newton says, FIFA 93 on the Sega Mega Drive took up many an hour in his student days. Me and my mate got too good, so we had to play tournaments with the worst team possible. Luxembourg.
Not true, it's Qatar.
I think
the first FIFA had that amazing thing where you were about to get booked and you could Benny Hill run the entire pitch.
You'd run away from the ref.
Yeah, you could run away for about 10 minutes till you got bored.
and then he'd give you a yellow card. Just a yellow. In real life, probably a sent off.
And finally, Mark Andrew Roberts, brother of our very own Adam.
Hello.
Says,
in case we've not met you
before. just throwing it out there.
You weren't even listening, were you? That's why you just suddenly said hello, because you heard someone say your name.
Not at all.
Says, best Fantasy World of Soccer, worst Total Soccer on the Amiga, or Fantasy Football League on the Amiga. And when asked why, they thought I needed to pad it out a little bit. Mark said that on Fantasy Football, regardless who you picked in your team, it never showed who scored. While Total Soccer was a bland, basic kickoff clone, which, man, that must be awful.
It was garbage, that Fantasy Football, I can confirm. It used to crash all the time as well, so utter rubbish.
I actually had the same game, and basically it was really easy. Because it's basically on the stats from the previous year, all you had to do was know who was good last season, buy them, and your Fantasy Football team would be very good.
Anyway, Dave, talking of listener feedback, on the Facebook page we have heard from Glenn again on a small matter which was raised in the first episode about your letter writing campaign to footballers of the past.
Dave's poison pen habit.
That's a little bit strong, isn't it?
Wow, that was funny. Good. Awkward. But so,
even Hitler was a child, Dave.
I didn't send them this letter. I asked for their autographs and they duly complied. It wasn't like I was going, "Dear so and so, I think you're fucking shit. I hate you."
That'd be pretty tough as a
letter. What's the point? Pen is a loving pen.
Yeah, give us the one name of someone you wrote to during your
I wrote to Derek Mountfield, former league winner.
Successfully.
Very successful. Lovely man.
Okay. Did you write with love or hate?
Absolute love.
Okay.
But what I would like to say is, obviously here at Kane Baines and Automobiles, we don't like to disappoint listeners. So we have done a little bit of digging, and coming up in episode 3, we've got something special on the matter of Dave's footballing letters.
Adam Roberts, detective agency, has been at it again.
Well, to be fair, he spends a lot of his time just being a privateer serving on ducks. So I don't think I've got too much to worry about.
Quackers,
a lot of his time.
Oh, I'm better than that.
This link's going nowhere.
quickly, Dave, save us from this.
Well,
please,
anyway,
save it to myself.
Because we do so enjoy your feedback. I want to pose the same question to our listeners that I did pose to the boys earlier, which is any of the Home Nations fans, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, England, best and worst players of your generation. You can write to us at.
You're going to send us a letter.
Well, we won't be there. We'll be in fans.
Campervan at empty field.
Duck fucking.
France.
Or on Twitter at KBNA Podcast, or on Facebook where we can be found. Just search Kane Baines and Automobiles. We're the number one search result for that. But yeah, let us know. Best and worst players of your generation. Even Scotland fans could do it. Let's get them involved. Basically, I haven't got much to cheer for.
So you've already lost them, Scotland, Jake.
Well, and this week we're going to be down in Lyon, actually getting part of the tournament. I mean, we get to go and see our first game. The exciting game that is Portugal versus Iceland. Myself, Dave and Mike will be going, donned in our blue Iceland t-shirts. Not Iceland, the cold frozen food store. It will be Iceland, the country, the country of Vikings and rich fjords. Or is that...
And there is
one.
You work for the And there's, of course, one game that we are, as a group, all going to.
Albania versus Romania.
El Clasico.
England versus Wales. What we going to think happens? Ad?
Well, I still think that we're going to finish in 7 points. I think that we will actually beat Wales. They will be up for it still, I'm sure. And also knowing that they could qualify with a victory against us. But I think that we will win 2-0. What do you reckon, Michael Wilkinson, to the scoreline?
England Wales.
Yeah.
England 1 Wales 0. Narrow victory. Declan?
I think it's going to be a draw, and I'll take a draw all day long.
2-0 England, and I think Jamie Vardy will score.
I think it could be close. England might be edgy, but I think if they can play as they did up until we scored, and then not kind of sit back and think that'll be enough, then we've got a lot more of a chance than possibly
possibly we would do it if Roy changes things and goes into what he was doing second half.
Hopefully he won't change it. Hopefully, well, hopefully he leaves Sterling in, because I think he was excellent. And I'd love to see Sterling play against Wales.
Nah, of course he won't. Of course he won't.
Anyway, brilliant. I said your catchphrase. Sorry, Dave.
Go on.
Thanks, okay, thanks for listening to wherever you are, to you wherever you are in the world, America, and Spain, France.
Portugal,
Canadian, Qatar, and of course to the home nations, and everyone in the comments as well.
And let's remember, we know where you live, because we can see where everyone's downloaded from. Not actually your house, it's not like Dave's going to send you another poison pen letter.
And it is raining, so let's get inside.
Yeah, let's get this electrical equipment inside before there is an episode 3.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, enjoy the games.
Have fun.
And see you soon.
Oh!
Oh, you
that would be one.
That was admin smashed in the bollock.
goodbye, thanks for listening. We'll be back with F3 in a couple of days. Take care, goodbye.